So this warning for the technique I want to talk about is going to be quite different. But first I'd like to talk a little about how we meditate, what kind of attitude we bring to meditation. And in the Zen tradition, in the Korean Zen tradition, you have this idea which is called effortless effort. And so when we sit in meditation or walk in meditation, it's interesting a little bit to look at how we put in effort. And so in a way, when they talk of effortless effort, they're basically saying, can you try enough, but not try too hard? If you don't try enough, there won't be enough energy, but if you try too hard, you're going to be tense. And so I think to see that it's kind of like there is this spectrum, that sometimes we have in a way to try a little harder to bring more energy. And at the same time, sometimes if you try too hard, then it's going to make us agitated, then we need to relax more. And so I think it's not that at all time we can cultivate this effortless effort, but to see how, what is it, how can I play around a little bit with my conditions. So if I feel a little sleepy, I might need to bring a little more energy, I might need to open the eyes. If I feel a little agitated, I could close the eyes, I could focus on the breath. So I think it's important to try to play with these elements of trying, bringing energy and also calming. And so in a way trying to find, and I think this is something that we find over time, that because often at the beginning we try too hard and then we have to learn to relax. And at the same time, if we don't try hard enough, then there is not much energy. We might feel a little vague. So it's kind of the same with the posture. We try not to be too tense in the posture, not to relax. So we try to find a comfortable upright posture. And the same, I would say, with the mind. We're not trying too hard and at the same time not to relax. So it's finding that balance, effortless effort. And let's say it's a little bit like tuning a guitar. If the string are too tight, they might break. If the string are too loose, then the sound won't come good. So it's a bit the same. When we're sitting in meditation, we're trying to tune ourselves, again, according to our conditions. So then the practice I wanted to introduce today is the practice I learned when I was doing Korean Son, Korean Zen. So up to now, we have done what is more called practice from the Theravada tradition, which is kind of like called tradition of the elders, which you find in Southeast Asia, in India, in Sri Lanka, in Thailand, in Burma. And that practice is very much based on mindfulness practice or on the four quality practices. But of course, within that, you have many different, some people put more emphasis on the breath, some people might put more emphasis on body scanning, you might have even other practice which I have not mentioned, which is to concentrate in a certain way, or not thought in a certain way. So even within that framework of Theravada, Southeast Asian Buddhism, you have a lot of different practices. And then also they can be known under the term of Vipassana tradition, which is more like a modern term. And nowadays you are very much the, what you could call secular, what is called secular mindfulness tradition. So what we have done up to now is within that framework of being mindful of the breath, mindful of the body, mindful of the sound, mindful of the thought, or to try to cultivate the quality of compassion, or loving-kindness, or rejoicing, or equanimity. And what is interesting with those practices is that generally they're very based on cultivating directly mindfulness, or cultivating directly loving-kindness, rejoicing, for example. But what is also in other tradition, you have the same framework in terms of the basis I talk about at the beginning, the concentration, the anchoring, and the looking deeply, the experiential inquiry that you find generally in all Buddhist tradition done in different ways. So you have that, which is a same building block, but then if you look at different practices in different tradition, you can see, is a practice making me cultivate directly mindfulness or loving kindness, or is it a different technique, and then I'm going to cultivate mindfulness and loving kindness in an indirect way? And so that's what I would say the practice I'm going to suggest today. It's a very different type of practice. It's found in the Korean Son Zen tradition. And at one level, it's a very simple practice. You just sit in meditation, walk, stand, lie down, and you then just ask silently, inwardly, this question. What is this? So that's all you do. And so at that level, it's a very simple practice. But at another level, it's quite a difficult practice, because this is like a practice of questioning, and this is not a practice of answering. So we're not asking this question to find an answer. We're actually asking this question to develop a sensation of questioning in the whole body and mind. So it's a very different way, in a way, to look at practice. And so when we're asking, what is this? This is not like an analysis, this is not a psychological inquiry, it is not a philosophical inquiry. It's actually just, you could say, unconditional questioning with no reference point. What is this? It is like if you throw the question into the whole moment, and through the questioning, not defining, not fixing anything, but opening fully to the whole experience. And then, in terms of the basis, you have the same two components. You have the anchor. And often the question, what is this, is seen in a way a little bit like a stick to which you have a rope is attached, and then the rope is attached to the goat. So the goat can move, but the goat is not going to go and eat the carrots or the cabbages, because it's kind of just like that. And so in the same way, you have the same anchoring, it's an anchoring device. Asking the question, what is this? Again and again, you come back to the question. So you ask the question, what is this? Then you might get a little distracted. And then you come back to the question, what is this? And what is very interesting to see is that when you come back to the question, what is this? You come back to the whole moment. It works the same way as if you come back to the breath, you come back to the sound. The anchor helps you to come back to the whole moment. Once I had this experience, I was on a retreat, and it was raining very heavily, and you could really hear it on the roof. You could really hear the sound of the sound of the rain hitting the roof. So I was sitting in meditation, doing the questioning, what is this? And then I noticed that when I was lost in distraction, when I was lost in thought, I did not hear the rain. But as soon as I came back to the question, I came back to the sound of the rain. So I think this is one of the important aspects of anchoring. That generally when we go, when we kind of, you know, we get stuck and on a thought or on a feeling, on a sensation, we kind of, in a way, reduce the kind of the experience. And then often, especially with thought, we go into abstraction, which is away from the experience itself. And then when we come back to the anchor, and here when we come back to the question, what is this? You also come back to the whole experience. So again, you move from something which is reduced and sometimes a little abstract to something which is what is going on and also which is more open, multifaceted, multi-perspectival. So in the same way, you have the same effect with the question. Coming back to the question, you come back to the whole moment. And then you have the other aspect, the other component, which is questioning. So this question, what is this, is not a mantra. So you're not sitting there, what is this, what is this, what is this, something. The word are not sacred. I would encourage you to do it in Finnish. I don't know what it is in Finnish. You are?
Mitä tämä on?
Why not? Why not? And it's just, it sounds, here it really sounds very different. It's Finnish. Because I know it in French, qu'est-ce que c'est, in Italian, che cos'è questo, and German it's still, but there it's really different. You'll have to write it. You'll have to write it on the board.
Mm-hmm. I've done this practice for 1 year and a half, and it was so difficult for me to use the Finnish words, but I changed it to mine, so I'm asking, mitä on puu? And I always ask, mitä on puu?
Which is?
Mitä on puu?
No, yeah, but what does it mean?
What is puu? Puu
as in emptiness in Chinese.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think that puu is emptiness. I think that just that it's a word that's used very well. It's used better than mitä tämä on in Finnish. So that it sounds me. And I think that it's a very powerful and very good practice.
Yeah, but then you see here, if I may say so, in a way we are mixing question. So you can do that if you want. But personally, I think it's good to use a Finnish word. And I think it's good to, if we can, to use this, what is this? Because in a way this is two different story. Generally the questions come out of a koan. So you have one koan, and that's the whole story. It's just an ancient word for the Chinese word, kunan, for the story. So the story is, in terms of the what is this, is you have a young monk, goes to the monastery, then he meets the Zen master, and the master says, oh, where do you come from? I come from Mount Song. And the teacher says, what is this and how did he get here? And then the young man does not know what to say, he remains speechless, so then he practiced very hard for 7 years. Often Zen is said to be a shortcut, but it takes as long as any other practice. So he practiced very hard on what is this, how did he get here? And then he has an insight, and then he goes to the teacher. And he says to the teacher, oh, I have had an insight, and the teacher said, what is this? And then the young monk say, to say it is like something is not to the point, but still it can be cultivated. So the whole thing is a story. And then out of the story, you take the question, what is this? And then that one, which our friend mentioned, is wu, mu. And this is another story. where you have a great master, he speaks about the Buddha nature, that everybody originally has a Buddha nature, which is one of the belief in Zen. And then he finishes the talk, he goes back to his house, on the way he sees a dog, somebody else following him sees a dog, then the one following him goes to the master and says, as the dog, the Buddha nature. And then the master says in Chinese, wu, or mu, which means nothing, emptiness. And then a different, you see, you have Zen in China, you have Zen in Korea, and you have Zen in Japan. And so they all will do the working with the stories and the question a little differently. So in Korea, the way they would use it will be a little different than in Japan. So in Korea, they would say from the story, they would have the question, why did Zhao Chu said mu? What was his state of mind when he said mu, when he said that word? Why that word? So if you are kind of used to the Zen tradition, you can possibly mix and match the stories and the question. But personally, what I find interesting in terms of, if it's possible in Finnish, is what is this? I feel as a certain directness to help us be in, what is this? So in a way, it's kind of connecting a little bit to the mystery of being alive, being here, and trying to really be fully here in this moment. So play with it. Of course, you can do what is this in the Finnish way. You can play with it to make it more working for you. And this you can, we can discuss in the Q&A. So the idea of the second component is to really ask the question. So the amount of the quantity of the question is not what is important, but it's really asking the question itself. With this, what we're trying to develop is a sensation of questioning. Like sometimes people might say, you have this, what is this? And sometimes they might say, oh, should you put the emphasis and say, what is this? Or is more important? Should you say, what is this? Or more on the this, what is this? Actually, the most important part of the question is a question mark. What we're trying to do is become a question mark. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to develop a sensation of questioning, a sensation of unknowing. Because part of the practice is trying to dissolve the tendency we have to define, to identify, to fix, to solidify. And so it's kind of like the technique itself is a kind of like a little counter way. Instead of defining, finding an answer, moving on to the next question to get the next answer, here we trying to develop this sensation of questioning. So personally, I think over time, it helps us to be more flexible, to have more choices, to go more less in this fixed, defined identity of ourselves or others or whatever is around us. So the idea is, in a way, the word, what is a question, is like a diving board, is like kind of helping us to develop the sensation of questioning. And they say that if over time you cultivate the questioning, you don't have to say the word very much. Like there was a great teacher in Korea, he used to say, if your question has a lot of energy, then you could say it once in the morning, and then the sensation of questioning would remain with you the whole day. So sometimes we have to see, like if we're really distracted, we might have to come back to the question again and again, just to anchor ourselves. But if we are quite calm, then within that calmness, we could just throw the question, what is this? And then just stay with the resonance of the question. And just that feeling of unknowing, of openness. So in terms of doing the practice, again, there are many different methods. So one method, actually, especially for people who begin with it, is that you can do it in complement with the breath. So there was one technique in Korea, one teacher used to say, you breathe in, and as you breathe out, you ask, what is this? You breathe in, and as you breathe out, you ask, what is this? Or another way, just to ask, what is this? Stay with the feeling of questioning, and then when it goes, then again you bring the word, what is this? One important thing with this practice is actually really to cultivate effortless effort and not to push the question with the head. So one thing not to do is to be like that. What is this? What is this? What is this? That's what when I began the practice in Korea, that's what I used to do until I thought, wait a minute, this is a bit weird. So generally one tries to stay calm. And then generally what is very important is to bring the energy down. So generally to try to focus the question actually in the belly. It's kind of like you visualize the question, you try to ask the question from the belly. So you bring the energy down from the head more into the body. And so the sensation we talk about over time is more like you could nearly say a physical sensation or kind of a questioning of the whole body and mind. At the same time, it's good, very important, with this practice to balance the two elements of quietness and clarity. So if we feel a little sleepy, we can bring the questioning to the fore. What is this? What is this? Because it really generally will wake you up. And generally it's recommended to do the questioning with the eyes half open and just gazing gently in front of oneself. If you feel a little agitated, then you can just go back to the breath. So personally, I feel the mindfulness of the breath, the mindfulness of listening or the body really complement each other well with the questioning. That's why I started with those practices first. And now I bring this questioning because I think they can really complement each other. So if we want, we can just do the question and not do anything else. Or you can do the breath and the question together. Or you can just listen to the sound and just time to time drop the question. Then in terms of the way it seems to work for people, again, like the breath, the listening, etc., or the reciting, the phrases, this method does not work the same for everybody. Generally, there is three types of people with this practice. The first type of person does the what is this and thinks this is great. They love it. It really works for them. The second type of person is sitting there. What is this? What is that? Why am I asking this stupid question? Then I would say, don't do it. If it does not speak, if it does not work, there are many other methods. Then there are another type of person where actually to ask a question seems to kind of like strike the mind, and then suddenly that makes them have lots of thought. If it's like that, don't do it very much, do the breath or something else, and then just time to time throw the question. Then there is another type of person, if they do the questioning, it seems to make them a little anxious, uncertain, because it's really about unknowing, being with uncertainty. And so again, there I would say, don't do it very much, do more the mindfulness of the breath or listening, and just if you want to try it out once or twice in 30 minutes, you can just bring, what is this? Then the same when we do the walking meditation, again, you can just, in rhythm with the walking, you can bring the question, Or you can be aware of the body, or aware of the sound, or aware of what you see, and just time to time bring the question, what is this? So again, see what works for you when you do the walking meditation. Then there is what I would call like a side, kind of like a little modern, adapted practice one might do. And this is if you have done a lot of awareness practice, you will naturally do that. And then what can be interesting is to use a question in a different way. So you might have a thought, you're aware of the thought, and then you might say, what is this? Or you might have a sensation, you're aware of the sensation, and you might say, what is this? Then when you do that often, it kind of like something happened. It kind of like dissolve a little bit. So again, you can play with that. So that's not like the traditional way one would do it, because generally you do it totally open without reference point. But if one is used to do a lot of awareness practice, it could be a suitable way also to try it out. So that's what I wanted to say. Is this relatively clear what we're going to try to do? Yes?
I have a question. Because the language, for me, Finnish doesn't really... Sometimes I find it it's more difficult for me to pronounce Finnish in my head than English.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, should I really try to concentrate, do it in Finnish, or can I just... But I learned Finnish and English at the same time when I was a kid, so maybe that's also... But for example, understanding... When you repeat it, it's the same thing for everything. In Finnish, it's like ymmärryksestäni. It's like, it's totally, it feels like a sharp potato in my mouth. It's, or in my head, the Finnish word.
You see, I mean, could you, I mean, again, if you're more comfortable in English, do it in English. No problem with that. I mean, the point is to really try to have the sensation of questioning more than the word itself. So what could also be interesting in terms of the Finnish, could you drop the this and could you just say what is? Mm. Is that shorter?
Yeah, I think this is the easier, but let's say I was talking more about the the meditation we had before and repeating these
sentences,
especially those ones were just, I think the Finnish words are just, because Finnish as a language is complicated. The words are long, and I just find it that I start to concentrate more on the words than kind of the meaning. English is simpler and...
Okay. No, fair enough. I mean, it's a little bit the same in French. It's a little bit in French, as soon as you want to do something, it's going to be longer. And then it's kind of like finding ways, so either to use English, which is generally shorter, that's true, but also personally I think it's kind of, if one can find a way in one's own language, a way to kind of find a certain resonance, make a sentence less complicated, just possibly, I don't know, bring an image or something. So I think, again, I think it would be good if one can use one's own language in a creative way. I mean, that's what when I do things, even in English, I will try to kind of, you know, sometimes shorten thing or do thing. Because, you see, even in English, when you have a English teacher, they generally will have much longer phrases. Like, you know, you have the loving kindness, may you be happy, may you be at peace, may you be safe. But sometimes you'll have like a sentence like that in English that will do you something very long. And in my experience, especially with people who are not English, I find, you know, the shorter the better. But this could also be my Zen training. So personally, I generally shorten. So if you can find a way to shorten it in Finnish, possibly... That would be, personally, I think it would be fun. It would be fun to creatively, but if it's better in English, of course, one can do it in English too. Okay? Let's try it out.